Because I told you this, I'm going to the one who sent me. Grief has filled your hearts. This is a Last Supper discussion that John the Evangelist is writing with the words of Jesus. It's a transition moment. As Henry was reflecting earlier with me, he says it's a grief of transition. He's telling them things are going to change. Big changes. But I have to go because it'll be better for you. Now, if we remember, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were never far from each other. It was the Holy Spirit that came over Mary, right? And now he is finishing his ministry. He has finished the Eucharist, and he's going to the Father. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. And he's going to be resurrected. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon the church. I am fascinated the way things happen for a reason as a cause of something else that happens. And this event further down the chain of history can't happen without these other links in time. So the Holy Spirit is sent to the church. Saint Paul is converted from being one of the worst persecutors of the church, an official prosecutor of the church, to being one of its greatest advocates and apostles. And he is chosen as much as anything because he's fluent in Greek and Latin and is a Roman citizen. I'm not sure what all was in the mind of God when he chose Paul, but look what happens. This story in the first reading is one of the most important links in the chain. It's at Philippi in Macedonia. It's the first stop of Paul's entry into Europe. He's the first apostle to enter into Europe. Now, later on, he will write the letter to the Philippians. That's in the New Testament. But Paul is preaching now, after having a lot of experience in what is today Turkey and Syria and that area. But now he's been sent by the Holy Spirit. We read last week in Acts and just before this chapter that the Holy Spirit guided him and sent that Spirit and said at night in his dream there was a Macedonian saying, "Paul, we need you." And he booked passage to Macedonia from Troas, Troy. And who went with him? Timothy, who would eventually be the recipient of the letters to Timothy, and the bishop of the second largest city in the Roman world, Ephesus. And Silas, who was with him, that would be in his company throughout many of his ministry journeys, his mission journeys. And as usually happens, he starts off in the synagogue, starts making enemies when he starts talking about Jesus, gets arrested and thrown in jail. He and Silas are staked with chains. You can just imagine their chains from their leggings staked into the ground so that they can't move. And they're placed, it says, in the innermost cell of the building. So they're in the center of the building. These guys were considered dangerous. And the earthquake came that night. Broke the ground up. Shook the foundations of the jail. Stake came out. Chains are loose. Doors fly open. They didn't leave the jail cell. they stayed in the jail cell. And the jailer, not unlike many cultures, considered this a loss of honor, and that he needed to pay his debt. He was going to fall on his sword. Paul knew this and calls out, "Don't do it! We're okay. We're all here. Nobody left." And the funny thing is, they would not leave that jail cell, except the jailer came in. And imagine this man. He's gone from jailer to suicide. How do you get in that mindset? To this question of awe. What must I do to be saved? I don't know about you, but that's a huge change in a person's heart from official with responsibilities, jailer, failure, utter failure, to I have to follow my sword, to what must I do to be saved? And the only time he left the jail was the jailer took him up to his house, and Paul and Silas instructed the whole family in the faith. They requested baptism. They were among the first baptized, and they returned to the jail cell. Now, it's interesting how the apostles baptized their jailers. Peter would do the same thing in Rome. You can go to St. Peter in Chains in Rome, and they still have this more than 2,000-year-old jail cell that held many famous prisoners. Among them were Paul and Peter. And a well sprang up in the prison cell. It's still there in Rome. And Peter baptized his jailers and the other prisoners there. But in Philippi, Paul has baptized his jailer and goes back into the jail. And now the officials want to release him. So they are going to let him go in the middle of the night. And Paul says, "No. I dare you to release me in the middle of the night," and the word gets out that you jailed and beat a Roman citizen. Oh, wow. It's important that Paul was a Roman citizen. And so the magistrates now have to come down in humility in daylight, in front of the whole city to release them in front of everybody. This now has an impression on Philippi. The jailer is telling his story. There is conversion going on, and the church is now in Europe. It had never been there before. What a foundation. And he would go on from town to town to Athens and Corinth and found the church in Corinth. And then eventually, of course, he and Peter would end up in Rome. And the Holy Spirit was moving because Jesus said, "If I don't go, I can't send you the advocate." And that is so important. None of us can be forced to believe in God. Jesus understood that each one of us have to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's why he had to return to the Father. If we want him with us, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit. And because of our baptism and confirmation, we are as saved as that jailer to whom Paul promised eternal salvation.